It's an NRL round review.
All over.
Only a few of these to go, MG. Looking back on the weekend of footy, just two games to walk through and two very, very different fixtures we saw on this semi-final weekend. Manly, Roosters, Panthers, Parramatta. Let's start it off with Friday night. Manly, 42 to the Roosters, 6. One-way traffic.
Yeah, it was, Liam. And as you mentioned, very contrasting finals we saw. We saw Manly jump out to a 18 points to nil lead after about 16, 17 minutes, and that was basically all she wrote. There was no chance of the Roosters getting back into the game or getting any ascendancy because they basically shot themselves in the foot in the first 15 minutes by dropping balls and not completing, not getting to kicks, and they were their own worst enemy. I just think that they'd reached their tether. It was a bridge too far, all that type of stuff. I think they'd, you know, to get where they were, it's been enormous. We've been, you know, waxing lyrical about that, but in the end they met a team who was out for vengeance from the week before, and we all knew that Manly would come back and not play as bad as they did against Melbourne, but we didn't know that Tommy Turbo would be straight back to his old tricks.
27 tries he's now scored this year, the most tries in a season by a fullback in premiership history. The Roosters, wow. I think you probably summed it up. We talked about the injuries and everything and next man up mentality, and they finally just hit the wall a little bit with what that they were capable of given the amount of troops they were down. But still, I think Trent Robinson probably looks back at the game and he probably acknowledges that stuff internally, like to himself. Yeah. But I would imagine that he would be frustrated by the mistakes that were there for the Roosters.
Yeah, and look, when you lose your dummy half a couple of days before the game because of suspension, you lose your main, one of your main forwards in Tucky Ahau as well. That's just the final nail. You're right, he would have been on the outside, you know, really admirable about how brave his team were. But the cold, hard, simple facts are that they didn't play like they've been playing in recent times. Mm. In recent times they've been staying in the games because they've been completing their sets, getting a good kick. Hutchinson's kicking game was ordinary. Didn't put any pressure whatsoever.
Wasn't there from Victor that we saw in the Titans.
No, and I think that shoulder injury might have been a little bit worse than he made out to us. But he's a tough bugger.
Yeah.
Look. Given what they've got on the sidelines, I'll make a prediction right now that the Roosters will be in the top four next year.
Yeah, and we know they're getting Connor Watson. And there's discussions that they might be Tyrone Peachy is another name that's been floated as a possible addition. So the Roosters are becoming like the Melbourne Storm to some extent. When players go there, they improve.
Well, they blooded 9 players this year.
Incredible.
And then 9 players were all playing for the Bears in New South Wales Cup earlier in the year. So the fact that they've got an experience under their belt like that, high intense footy will only help the Roosters as a unity.
Let's talk about Manly though, because that was Tom back to the Tom Turbo that we've seen for almost 2/3 of the season now. Outstanding. He was dynamic. He had the ball. He was breaking lines. He was involved. He was involved like we didn't see him against the Melbourne Storm the week prior. But you spoke how much it hurt the Roosters to lose Sam Verrills, who failed at the tribunal.
The judiciary,
thank you. But Lachlan Croker's addition back into this Manly side was kind of the seesaw, the equal importance as well.
Very good point. Exactly what it was. They missed him last week against Melbourne, and as we keep talking about Lachlan Croker, he's not their marquee player by any stretch of the imagination, but he's a vital cog in their success. He doesn't get the plaudits, but watching him closely in this game against the Roosters, he's just done everything well. His passing game is... he's really, really good. That's improved a lot. He brings the forwards onto the ball really well. I thought Sean Kepi, who ended up starting the match, was awesome in the opening 15, 20 minutes. Paseka didn't see much of the game. I thought Dylan Walker, when he came on, just changed the whole dynamic of the game as well, as he had the week before against Melbourne in a losing team. So, look, Jakey Trbojevic has found some real good form in the last 2 months of footy. DCE and Foran, you know, they... you can play what's in front of you. You got to, like everyone's talking about how depleted the Roosters are, but they're still a worrying team. They come fifth, and they're still versing you in a knockout semi final, which is high stakes. So Manly play really well. I thought that they would have beaten most teams on that performance. They just, I bet you, they just wish they played a little bit better than they did the week before against Melbourne. But at least they've got some momentum now when they come up against South this weekend.
Huge game. That is going to be really interesting. I'm looking forward to your paper test when we do that in the preview, MG, because I think it'll be a very interesting one. And you know, on paper maybe South, but you know, there's some really big wins for Manly, but everywhere else, I don't know. I mean, Olakau'atu, again, we saw what a tremendous performance by this young man he's developing. But Manly getting it done, and it's not coasting into, because they played out the full 80 minutes, but a dominant win, 42-6. Rooster season over.
Well done. And when you can bring Tommy off with 15 minutes to go, you're going well.
Yep.
So they're in a good position, Manly.
Right. Then we get to what was just, I mean, 8-6 the scoreline. This was a doubleheader in Mackay. Two contrasting games the Mackay locals got to experience. That game on Friday night, the drubbing from Manly, and then into this one. Panthers 8, Parramatta 6. Talk me through your emotions in this one, MG.
It was a mesmerising game.
You're at home on the couch?
I'm on the couch, a couple of beers. And you couldn't take your eyes off the TV, even though it's the best 8-6 game I've ever seen. I think it's the game of the year for mine, just in so many different ways. It was high stakes. Both teams defended their asses off, like, admirably. I thought at half time, 8-6, okay, well, let's see this game open up in the second half. We'll probably see, 26-24, but unbelievable. Nope. Unbelievable. And I know the post-narrative of the game is, that they were robbed here and they didn't get that. And, well, but you know what? We can always find that in games. We're going to look, if we dissect the game, every single game, we're going to find errors from the man with the whistle. But
especially in a 2-point game.
Especially in a 2-point game. But as I keep saying, show me a rugby league game where not one player makes a mistake.
Yeah.
Not one. And goes through the whole game without a blemish. The referees, well, this is in a couple of incidents, I think that Jerome Luai is very lucky. I thought that he should have been sin bin for that grab on Mitchell Moses.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what that's what I thought the bunker's there for. Or what are the touch judges doing these days?
They're only there to communicate when the trainer wants to stop the game for an
injury. Well, that's another blight in the game, the trainers. We'll get to that later. But, I mean, it's, you can't have blokes coming on stopping the game with an ankle injury. You know, you can't just, it's such a grey area now with the HIA that as soon as the trainer says stop the game, 4 or 5 times Parramatta were on the charge. And the game stopped because of some reason. And that, I'd be peeved off if I was Brad Arthur in that regard. But look, if they were good enough, they would have won. That's, the cold hard facts are that. The referee didn't beat them. And I'm not going to blame that. Even if Penrith got beaten, I would have taken it I would have said, okay, the better team won because they defended like their lives depended on it.
Let's take out those controversial decisions for a moment and speak to the players and the game itself. Not a point scored in the second half. You mentioned that 8-6 at halftime, 8-6 at full-time. But I'm going to flag my concern for your Panthers, MG, because both of these teams defend. Parramatta's scrambling defense was incredible. There were moments when Parramatta were across the line for all money. They were there. I just assumed the ball was going down. Gutherson was awesome. The scramble defense from Parramatta was incredible. Panthers' defense was superb as well. Are you worried about the Panthers' attack, their ability to score points?
I am. What's that? 2 weeks they've scored 14 points.
But with both tries coming off kicks, or all tries both, coming off kicks.
Yeah, and the Parramatta try came off a kick as well. It was, but Penrith, there's something I don't know. It's for mine. It's ever since Kikau's gone to the bench. There seems to be that opening 20 minutes. The other team, I don't think, pays Penrith enough the respect that they deserve, and I think it's because one of their biggest bodies and their biggest men are off the field, and I think that gives other teams confidence. I think I have to go back to Billy starting the game. I think that it's no coincidence that all these boys who played Origin are starting to feel the pinch. You know, they're starting to, Nathan Shoulder didn't look 100% the other night. Jerome Luai's, well, his form has been well documented. He hasn't hit the mojo he's had before Origin.
There was no Brian Toto, obviously.
Liam Martin has kind of stagnated. No, I put it down the season they've had, and they've got to negotiate that. If they're going to have 5 or 6 players in Origin each year, they've got to start to learn from what's happening, and they'll learn now. They'll learn. It's obviously Melbourne are going to start raging hot favourites this weekend. They deserve to. But in a two-horse race, anything can happen.
Those lessons they take away from Origin, I mean, it's something that the best teams have had to navigate over the years. The Melbourne Storm, obviously, those three legends that they had, or four legends, you know, Cronk and Inglis and Smith and Slater, they knew how to do it because of years of being in the system.
Yeah,
and these Panthers core you speak of, they'll next year, if they're all back on the rep level, they'll get better for it. Jerome Luai, this has been a huge season for him. Not just from on-field expectation, but also from external expectations now. This isn't just the kid dynamo that's popped up and is exciting people. People know the opposition would probably watchful of Jerome Luai.
Yeah, he's now on the cheat sheet for every other team who watches. He used to be, before Origin and stuff, he would have been a player that would have been in the sights of other teams. But now that he's done what he's done, he's an integral part of what teams would look at to stop, and they're doing it. Again, I thought Campbell Gillard and Paulo probably outplayed Leota and Fisher Harris. I think they won the battle of the big men up front. And look, both teams' attacking prowess kind of went out the window last Saturday because the defense was just so good. You know, it was last minute defense. It was high end stakes. It was just a mad game to watch.
It was awesome.
You almost wish there wasn't a loser in that type of game because they both deserved to win the game. And as I said earlier in this chat, I wouldn't have been disappointed if Penrith went out like that because Parramatta would have deserved it.
A couple of other things I wanted to point out for your Panthers. Tevita Pango Jr., I thought you saw both ends of the spectrum for TPJ. You saw the great, what he can bring. What his assets are is that aggression and speed when he gets, you know, when he hits the line as a it was awesome, but then you also had that little moment with Will
little
Smith,
niggle. Yeah, Will Smith,
and I thought, oh, he's gonna blow it here, he's gonna give away a penalty, he's gonna let, but cooler heads prevailed, so well done to TPJ.
Yeah,
and then the other moment I loved, which I couldn't, and I don't think because of everything that happened, Stephen Crichton had a moment where I think he came out of the line, it was in the second half, and with one arm, almost like those Odell Beckham Jr. catches that you see them lose their minds over in the NFL, the pass was gone. It was over his head. Any other player in the NRL, that's gone. And he has reached back and just plucked this thing and stopped the try that would have put Parramatta ahead.
He's in awesome form, I think, and he had, no coincidence, he didn't play Origin. I think him and Brett Naden were our two best players, both in the wings. I thought Naden was enormous. I think the whole team were. I think it's, look, everyone's going to talk about Penrith's attack and where's it gone, and everyone's going to talk about how Melbourne are going to start raging hot favourites. But it's just, you know, you're one game away from clicking back into a bit of form, and if Penrith want to click back into a bit of form, there's no better game to do it than this Saturday night.
Despite what Manly did on Friday night, it's not meant to be easy at this time of year.
They made it look easy.
Just quickly, and we'll get into this by the time we get to our preview podcast on Thursday, Teamless Tuesday tomorrow. If you had a guess, Mitch Kenny, the ankle looks set to rule him out for the grand final, which is heartbreaking for Mitch Kenny.
For the
prelim, thank you. But Brian, if Brian Toho is ready to go, do you just plug Naden in as 14 or?
Oh, no, I'd bring Tyrone May as 14, I think.
Is Tyrone May fit and ready to go?
I'm not sure, but he offers more as a versatility goes.
So I think Naden probably just misses out.
I think it'd just be a clean swap, I think it'd be... Brian Tottle, you can't leave him out.
Geez, stiff for Naden after the performance he put in. And again, it gets to this time of year, and there's no fairy tales. It's not meant to be easy this time of year, whether you're at the selection table or whether you're out there on game day. So, all right, there it is. That's your round review podcast, a short one. We've only got two games to go, or two games to review, and same as it'll be next week, and then one more to go.